Welcome. You have entered the home of the ECU Pirates. Pirate Nation, stand up and put your hooks in the sky. Let's make this competition feel what it's like to be surrounded. Y'all with me? Come on. Yeah. Let's get it started. Get your hands at your pocket. Turn up the volume. We're the bomb and you're the target. It's on. Mind blowing with the whatnots. Doing everything but stop. Trust dog, y'all ain't ready for this. High powered. ECU's on fire. Scorch till the competition's begging for rain.
Welcome into the Sports Objective as we have one of our favorite people on. Right, Bubba?
No doubt about it, Dave. I love talking pirate hoops with this guy. Welcome back into the program, Si Seymour. Si, how are you?
Bubba, great. It's good to hear from you guys. You do a great job, and I always enjoy being with you, Dave. We're all passionate basketball people, and, of course, we're talking pirates, so it's really a lot of fun.
We've come a long way, having with Si with our graphics now, since the time you came on with me 3 years ago.
Unbelievable how much you've gotten. You're just getting progressively better at what you do. Your graphics are great, and it shows how good a job you guys are doing. And congratulations to y'all. It's really good.
Thank you. That goes to Bubba. He's the graphics dude. So, but always that ties in nicely to what we're talking about is the hard work in the off season when you have the situation with. By the way, shameless plug, but we have Dustin Kearns from App State. As we have our once again, one of the things that Bubba and I love and pride ourselves on is the NCD1 basketball preview. And thank you, Bubba, for putting that on the screen for people that are watching it. But we'll have all 18 teams represented, hardly 18 schools in North Carolina in Division I, but that tells you how big of a basketball state we have. And Dustin Kearns is the first coach we have from App State. And Coach Si Seymour, I tell you what, he's done a nice job up there making the tournament. Obviously, we'll talk Pirates, but we've got a lot of great basketball in the state of North Carolina, don't we, Si?
No doubt about it. Dustin Kearns, you send up a signal when you tell me him. I think he's one of the great young up-and-coming coaches. He does a tremendous job. He's got a good background. He studied under good people. And I'm not just saying it, Bubba, you got Dave. That's a good guy to have on. He is a tremendous coach. And you said something else. The state of North Carolina with 18 Division I schools, when you look up, we struggle in this state to even get to where we need to be. It's such a good state. When you look at all of them, it's tremendous. And kudos to you guys for getting those people on the air about North Carolina basketball. It's a really special place.
No doubt about it. Speaking of a special place, Greenville, the Pirates, a team that you love very much, that you're very passionate about. We talked about our coach that we love so much, and Joe Dooley, coach has been, I mean, that guy, I wonder, does he ever sleep? Does he ever take vacation?
No. You know, I talked to him Saturday a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's recruiting. He's in Florida. He never stops. He never stops working. He's working hard all the time right now. I mean, when he got back, they just scrimmaged. Down at Nag's Head. They go down every year and they scrimmage, they play, they get together as a team. And when he got back, he was on the road. He's on the road recruiting. No one have I seen with more energy and more knowledge. And I'm telling you, anybody, more knowledge about the players that are out there, the players that are available, and their history. He knows all of them, and he's the best at it I've seen. He really is that good at that business. There's nobody like him.
Talk about, you were talking about Joe Dooley. With it. We've got a lot of great players that we have that they have from the transfer portal. We obviously lose Gardner, but disappointed to see today the coaches at American. This is the day one opening day for the media days for basketball, and they have ECU picked dead last. Si, I know that people think, well, Gardner's left, but I don't think that they've done their homework because we've gotten better when it comes to shooting, in my opinion. Just what I've heard and seen the film of these players that are coming in.
Yeah, first of all, it's very difficult for anyone now to really say who's who and what's what. 1,700 kids in the portal last year. I mean, it is just so hard to say where will this team finish and where will someone else finish. I was saying off the air before we started, Memphis had the top recruiting class two of the last 3 years. They've had that. And they're not picked in one of the regional groups that I, or one of the national magazines that I look at. They're not picked even in the also-rans. And they pick up two top five picks. And I'm telling you, you got Larry Brown in the house. You've got Rasheed Wallace and, of course, Hardaway. You got, there is no way that that team's not going to cause somebody trouble. I also look at them at the end of the year last year. And this is where I go back to the American. You know, we finished with one in the Final Four. Wichita State was in the tournament. Memphis did not make the tournament, with, I thought, which I thought was a travesty. And they end up winning the NIT by 20 points. That team should have been in. I mean, and so we didn't get, I didn't think we got fair judgment on our league last year. But having said that, that's why I say it's not a lot of credibility this year on where you're supposed to finish. I just don't see, I don't see how Joe can pick up three guys that would probably be starting on their Power Five teams. South Carolina, Boston College, he may be the best. And I'm telling you, Jackson is that good. Those three, I don't see how you – I don't think if we can mesh or ECU can mesh that they will finish that low. I just don't see it. They're going to cause a lot of trouble in this league.
Yes, before we dive deeper into the roster, you mentioned Vance Jackson and some of those guys that Joe and staff brought in. You know, taking part in the AAC media days today as well as tomorrow, and then, and, you know, the Pirates will be taking part in it on Thursday. And shameless plug here, you know, you can go to our YouTube channel to see all those interviews, players and coaches, men and women, in their entirety. But you know, when they put that poll up on the screen and I saw us dead last, and dead last by a wide margin with 14 total points, I just kind of laughed, thinking that, hey, you know, they're thinking that, well, they haven't been very good. They lost their best player. So that's the natural place to put them. But I think we're going to surprise some folks. I really do.
I do too. I see ECU being a team that you don't want to play. And if ECU can get Minji's rocking, it's even – of all the teams, believe it or not, in this league, that can be the most difficult place to play. Now, Memphis can be, but it's spread out. It's so big. I mean, you're going to have 15,000 to 16,000 at Memphis. I think Wichita State is a very difficult place to play since I've been doing this. Houston's going to be good, and Cincinnati. But ECU, when that arena is rocking, there's a passion at East Carolina that these other schools, as much as they love it, it's not like ECU's. It's a deeper level. And so the key will be getting that place rocking, getting people in there behind him. But as you said, the players he's picked up, I just don't see that. I don't see – think about it, guys. Last year he was undefeated in the preseason, okay? And, I mean, he's beating Charlotte, Wilmington, everybody. Then, I'm telling you, COVID crushed him. It just – he had maybe four full practices in the month of February. He just – nothing could go right. He never had his team there the whole time. And I also say this, and I say the same with Coach Houston. The coaches that were just beginning to build their program suffer the most. Joe's been there 3 years. Houston had been two. It is much more difficult with teams that don't have their game in place to where they want it as compared to teams that have been there six, seven, coaches that have been there a long time. It's just much more difficult. And so you throw that on top of you're trying to get organized, and then with COVID, that hit another blow, and it was very, very difficult.
No doubt about it. In fact, you know, when people say, well, you can't make excuses, everybody has to deal with COVID, but that would mean that everybody's on the same playing field. Everybody has the money of like an Alabama. Alabama's going to be hurt, but they're not going to be hurt like, you make that great point, a Mike Houston or Joe Dooley, who they're trying to climb the ladder. The Alabamas of the world are at the top of the ladder.
Right.
For basketball. Kelvin Sampson at Houston, he goes to the Final Four, but he has a tremendous, speaking of the America, a tremendous program down there. As we know, a North Carolina native of Lumberton, but a guy that has really done an awesome job. That program, as you know, I know Bubba and Kyle are too young, but they were barely born when Five Slamma Jam was going on. I know they've seen the 30 for 30, but they had that program rocking back in the day, and it's good to see. I know they're going to go to Big 12, but it's good to see that program back up where it belongs as far as a college basketball fan is concerned.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to tell my age. I remember Elvin Hayes in the big game. Okay. UCLA. So, and of course, Guy Lewis was the coach and took them there five times. This is a proud program that has been good in all sports. And Kelvin Sampson has really gotten it to where, and he made sure the administration and the university president bought in, as well as fans. And by gosh, that is a tough place to play. And I love what he's doing. It's so great when he comes to Greenville against East Carolina and the people from Lumberton get there and they get to the games to support their young guy, their coach, they knew him as a kid, their friend, and he does a great, I just really enjoy what they do. And he's fearless, and they are tenacious. And to beat them last year was a heck of a win. Really was.
Hey, we beat a team that went to the Final Four. I tell people all that, you know, so things aren't going to happen. That's the thing that people don't understand with the Dooley situation. Things don't happen overnight, and I don't think people understand that this guy, if he give Joe time to build the culture, just the same way with Mike Houston. Mike Houston is a tremendous coach.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous. And we have tremendous coaches at the assistant football as well as basketball. You give these guys time to recruit, man, I'm telling you, the Dooley, when we were 7-1 last year, I don't think you could punch a smile off my face how much I love the basketball program. And then all of a sudden it went like,
yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like we played cupcakes either side.
No, well, you remember he beats Tulane at home. The problem is he couldn't go down there and coach. He had COVID, so you lost your head coach in a game that you could win on the road, and it just went downhill. That's the whole problem with it. It was just a very, very difficult situation for everybody.
No question about it.
You talk about coaching staff.
We wanted to talk about you're talking about the players. What did you see? Okay.
Well, what do I see about the players? I'm telling you, this will tell you about. I want to tell you about Jackson. Just to start with Jackson. Jackson first day out there, one of the first days, he's just shooting and talking. Joe's talking to him, and they're behind the 3-point line, and he hits 17 in a row, and he's 6'9". And then when you look at his stats. The 2019 tournament, their conference tournament out west, he was named to the all-tournament team. He's the first player in 20 years that has been in only two games and made the all-tournament team. He averaged 25 a game. He averaged 25 a game, 6 rebounds, and shot over 40% from three. This is in 2019 now. Now, last year, you can't even throw in. Now we're in 21. I mean, I'm just saying that's what he can do. So he's 6'9", is probably going to play the four, rebounds it well, and can turn over any game. He was a four-star recruit. He's one of the top recruits. UConn, when they were at the top of their game, Ollie had just won a national championship. He out-recruited Southern Cal and Arizona to get this four-star recruit. We now have him. And he shot over 400 threes in his career. He can shoot it up. He can light it up. He can rebound. And he's 6'9". And he's a four man that's going to spread the floor. That's what he brings to the table. That's an unusual guy. And if he's right, he's really very difficult to stop. Now, let's go to Winston Tabbs. Winston Tabbs averaged 13 points a game in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Now, that just, as Joe says, that will tell you what kind of player this young man is. He's still young. And I was fortunate enough to go watch him work out over there. And he was on a bike riding, the stationary bike. And I go over to him and I say, I look forward to seeing you. And he looked at me with the greatest face ever. And his eyes looked great at me. And he said, I can't wait to get started. He said, I'm really looking forward to playing for Coach Dooley. And you could tell, I'll tell you what happened. I took three other people. I went and got them out of the other end of the gym and said, you need to meet this young man. Because his demeanor and his poise was on a different level than anybody. And we've had great players, but this kid here, he could be really special. 13 points a game in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He got 24 in a non-conference game against Minnesota. I mean, he's that kind of guy. So now you got that guy. And then just look at Frank. I mean, I'm just saying, Frank is a – and see, here's the other thing, Dave and Bubba. This is what I saw. These are not kids that aren't developed. They are already strong. They're older. They're not junior college transfers. They're not freshmen. These three guys have college, major college bodies. And Frank, when he came in, you know, I'm thinking he's going to be spindly, mover, 6'8", no. He can cover the paint, and he can shoot. He can shoot. And he was going to be the starting center at South Carolina. He was going to be the starting center. So you have three guys that were starting at major programs coming in. Now, that's just those three guys. I love the freshman. I love Reyes. He's going to be really, really good. The guard who's going to be good, the kid from the young guard, he's going to be really good. I can't think of it. Small, Javon Small. He's going to be – Joe loves him. He thinks he could break in there. Now, I'm just naming the kids that are coming in. And then the kid from South Carolina is going to be special. He can go. And then you've got a 6'8 kid, Mosher, that can shoot the three, a kid that's got great range. Then you've got another 6'8", 6'9 kid that we just picked up from Roseville High School. That these are good, solid players. That's just some of them. And then we know what we've got back. We'll talk about them. You know, you tell me who you want to talk about, and I'll do it. So we're looking forward to all of it.
Si, talking about Zoe Frink coming from South Carolina, it may have actually been from you, but from some very reliable source, they're talking about how Frank Martin in South Carolina were really anticipating him coming back, like you were saying, as far as him being the starting center. And he was a piece they really hated to lose.
No doubt about it. And here's the thing about him. He got caught up in the portal stuff. He said, you know, when someone asked him, you know, a guy I know asked him, says, what made you get yourself in the portal? He said, everybody else was leaving, so I thought I'd leave too. I mean, even though he was going to start in South Carolina, he got caught up in the portal business and transferred out. And listen, that was a hard recruit. Joe Dooley got him. I'm going to tell you, he was headed to UCF. And he came here and fell in love with it, left his baggage, said, I'm gonna sign here. That's really what happened with him. I mean, he's a big time recruit. I mean, but they all are. These are different level players. And I just think when you really look at it, all of his class, and the kid I was talking about from South Carolina, RJ Felton, he's gonna be a player. I love Felton. He is everything that, as a junior college coach, I love. He was 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", and not scared of anyone. He will not back down. If you tell him to guard somebody, he's going to guard him. He's going to come over from the weak side and block shots. He's just a really special player. That's just the freshman. And I can tell you, I've never seen Joe this excited, Coach Dooley. He's excited about the entire team. He feels really good about this ball club.
Yeah, you mentioned R.J. Felton. You mentioned R.J. Felton, Si, very quickly, Dave. Some videos that ECU's official basketball Instagram account has put out there of R.J. You know, showing off his athleticism, some of the dunking ability he has.
Yeah, and you're gonna like Leston too, the kid from. See, the problem with Leston, he's gonna be good. His problem was the COVID stuff affected. He didn't get to play hardly any basketball last year. He's got to get back in shape. And this is not just high school shape when you're here. This is a major college league that he's got to get ready for. And he's not there yet. But once he gets there, he's going to be good too. But R.J. Felton can jump out of the gym. As we always said as coaches, he can jump out of the gym. He's athletic as anybody. I mean, if I'm Coach Houston, he's my tight end. He's a good player.
Hey, Bubba, that was the guy that I think you shared it with me, or it was back when we first we got him, and I was just like, that was a wow factor to a 10 to see RJ Felton back. I think it was a video or something we saw online or something that that Bubba and I, we love to look at film, and I know Bubba's number one at that. I'm probably a distant second when looking at film, but he was one that I really, really liked. And Si, you know, one of the things I want to mention, Bubba, I know he knows about me to talk about this, but one of the things that we haven't done very well, let's be honest, is shoot the rock, especially the three ball. And a lot of people, including today with the coaches, not harping on it, but picking us 11th, I don't think they realize that Jaden Gardner couldn't shoot the three as well as we needed him to. He had a great game. I'm not knocking Gardner, not sour grapes, but my point is, it's kind of like in the pros when you have a trade or you have free agency. Here's a situation with a portal that actually, which most people think would hurt us, but actually I think it's going to help us because flat out we need the shooters. No disrespect to Jaden Gardner, but just because Gardner's gone, my point is, doesn't mean that we're going to have a bad season.
Oh, no, listen, and let's talk about Jaden. Congratulations. That's what he wanted to do. He had a tremendous career at East Carolina. My only regret is that he didn't finish it out because his jersey would have been hanging in the rafters. And that's, something, that you could never take away from that young man. Hard worker, and everywhere he's gone, from Heritage High to where – he's always done better than people thought he would do. ECU recruiting, and he stepped up and played great. They go to state championship. All goes back to Jaden. So I hope he has a great career at Virginia. I hope that style of play suits him. But again, if you want to say that if there was a weakness, was his range on his shot, but he was a good shooter. I mean, he was deadly from 15. But right. And he got it off quick. So I wish him the best luck. Having said that, you're getting other pieces of the pie now. And in fairness to Joe Dooley, and he doesn't know I'm saying this, everything had to go through Jaden because of the way ECU scored. So it's you were one dimensional. You know everything went through Jaden first, and now you got a lot of different weapons. To get what you said, Dave, to give you an example. 27, I think I'm right on this. 27% of the defenses we played were zone. Okay. 27% of possessions were zone defense. 27% of all our possessions. It was the 13th highest in the country. Why were they playing that zone? Because we couldn't shoot it. 27%, it was 13th highest out of 350 teams. We were the 13th highest amount of people that saw 27% of the game possessions were zone. And now, the way we'll be able to play this year, I think it'll drop. I think you're going to see different ways to get the ball to other people. I think it also will give Tristan Newton a chance to drive, Winston Tabbs a chance to drive, and all of our other guys that are back. I mean, you got the other part is – Suggs a year older now. He's going to be a junior. Everybody's upper class. JJ upper class. Fremont upper class. Tristan Newton. This is a seasoned ball club going into Joe's year, and that's something he hadn't had. So when you look up at what he's got back, Luigi's going to help him. There are so many pieces that are going to help him that he's now. Here's the problem: the first, I would say, 6 to 8 games are going to be where's the chemistry. Well, you know, where are we? What do we do? That kind of thing. But I really like where we're headed. I tell you, all the freshmen, I'm telling you, they're going to be good players. How do you keep them all happy with the portal systems like it is? I don't know. I wish Joe the best of luck there. But Joe has recruited and assembled a good group to work with.
And that's the thing, Si. We've talked so much about the incoming guys until you mentioned Luigi DeBoe, and we really haven't talked about those returners, and there's some tremendous returners. I mean, you return, what, 4 out of your top 5 scores, guys like Tristan Newton, Tremont Robinson-White, and Brandon Suggs, who we haven't even mentioned. J.J. Miles, who will be representing East Carolina at Thursday's AAC Media Days. Just so many quality pieces returning.
Well, exactly. And Tremont gives you – what I like about Tremont he gives you a great defensive presence. He's a really good defensive player, and he can shoot it. But this is going to take some pressure off of Tremont. Tristan, the sky's the limit. I mean, he's a 6'5 guard that comes from an athletic family. And now he's no longer that sophomore jinx. He's a junior and knows where he's headed. And let me tell you, you got talking about being proud of a kid. That kid's from El Paso, Texas. He crosses over a lot of schools that he could parachute out of and go to, but he chose and stays with ECU. That's a real compliment to him and to Joe Dooley and his staff that he's kept that kid. And like you said, I think JJ's going to help. I think Suggs has always been a good, steady ball player. He plays great defense. He plays smart. He does the things. And now Luigi is finally well, DeBoe. He had that foot problem coming in out of junior college. It was hurting him bad last year. We finally have him healthy. And again, experience. So I think when you look at the overall picture, you got the best of all the world's freshmen. And then when you look at the sophomores, I mean, everything he got. And then the JUCO transfer. He really, Joe got a good work, really did a good job getting the kids he got in.
He didn't. He'll tell you one thing, with the schedule, one of the things that pops up, speaking of schedule size, how about the tournament there in the Myrtle Beach area? That's going to be a great in November, taking on Oklahoma. Go big or go home, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great tournament for ECU. I think people should go down and see it. I think this is a place where you go in, expectations are good for us. You get crowd down there, and you never know where it goes. And I think first of all, Oklahoma is a great program. They're going to be solid. They're going down there. Got a coaching change, but they've got a quality program. Done a great job. But I think it's a good test for ECU early. It won't hurt you. It's good to play that team, and I'm excited about that. I think it'll be good. And so when you look at it, I think we'll be fine going down there. And then the rest of that tournament. Yeah, the crazy thing is, we could play Old Dominion in that tournament and then turn around and play them again. I mean, it's really, really strange how it is in the non-conference too. So you just got to wait and see how it plays out. But I think the Myrtle Beach tournament, I think the schedule itself lends itself to being a lot of fun.
No question about it. When you go in to this new season, is there any other storylines you're looking at before we let you go? We got a few minutes left with you.
Sure. Well, first of all, I can't wait to see the line. One storyline will be, first of all, you got to understand, there were coaching changes last year. We never met their coaches because of COVID. Wichita State, they won the league. Yeah. We never saw them. I mean, so the mystery team to me is Wichita State. Dexter Dennis is back. A guard is back. They're going to be good. Memphis, I think, can end up being one of the top teams in the country. Like I say, they won the NIT by 20 last year and should have been invited to the big dance, and they didn't get invited. I thought that was wrong. And you got Larry Brown's a great coach, and just telling you that. Of course, I love the stability and the strength of Houston. They're just solid. But Tulsa's always good. We never talk about Frank Haith. His teams are always good. And then UCF will be good. I mean, this is a tremendous league that nobody really knows about. It's a shame because I'm telling you, every game out, these are top programs in the country. And ECU, I really think, can knock on the door in this thing. I don't see them finishing last. I just don't see it. It will be a shock to me if they don't move up even further. I think they could move up to 8, 7. And when you're in that league, when you're in that league and that high, you're making big progress. And I think they could do that. And so I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Cincinnati, well, I'm going to talk about Wes Miller. Wes Miller goes to Cincinnati, who I think has done an unbelievable job at UNCG. And that already is a basketball. When you go there, there's a basketball atmosphere. I mean, it's packed. It was Oscar Robertson sitting across from you. And the place is packed, and they're passionate about those Bearcats. They've won 2 national championships, and they don't let you forget it. And Wes Miller walking into it's going to bring a different style of play there, but he'll be good.
I can't wait. We'll have you back on, right, Bubba, before the season starts, and a few weeks. We'll have you back on because it's going to be a great, great time. And by the way, before we let you go, I know, Bubba, we need for people to get your season tickets, folks. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Old-fashioned way, I like to let my fingers do the walking, but some people feel safe to order on ecupirates.com. Priority deadline for those of you that have season tickets is Friday. So if you want to keep your seats, get that, right, Bubba?
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely need to get out there and support this team. I really think they're going to turn some heads and surprise some folks, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and also, Dave, and but we talked about this off air. Yeah, I'm probably going to be in a different role this year. We'll talk about it later on. But my role will probably change a little bit from radio. I love this game, and you know it, and I'm excited about what I'll be doing. And you guys will be talking about it. And I love talking to you because it's nice to talk to people that really understand the game and what's going on in East Carolina. And to me, you guys do it as good as anybody I've seen. I really enjoy that. And let's stay with it. And I think we've got a shot to have a pretty good ball club.
Yeah, like you're saying, Si, we certainly appreciate that compliment. We've enjoyed doing Pirate Basketball Overtime, following each and every game throughout the seasons the last couple years. And, you know, last year when we had it rolling there early on, that 7-1 start, you know, we were receiving a tremendous number of views and listens, and that shows you how much we're starved for success.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you know, this is something you probably wouldn't know, but when they streamed games last year, whether it be basketball, baseball, football, the highest streaming sports event for ECU last year was the Houston ECU basketball game when it was streamed at ECU, and they had over 58,000 listeners. Baseball usually runs about 12,000. That ball game had 58,000. So if you want to know where potential is, and look, nobody does it better than Cliff Godwin. Nobody. Yeah. I mean, he is the best. I mean, and so you know why I love what he does. But to show you what basketball has the potential to do, there were 58,000 people screening that ball game.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of fun. We appreciate you, Si, so much. You've always been good to us. And I look forward to seeing you at the arena this year. And again, folks, get your tickets. Well, like Si said, let's make this place with Williams Arena loud and crazy and obnoxious. 1-800-ECU, ecupirates.com. Get your season tickets now. Si, buddy, I appreciate you so much. Enjoy your time, and we'll see you again in a few weeks.
Bubba, Dave, I enjoyed it. I mean, those students need to get out, too. They really do.
Yes.
Thank you. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.